Thank you, Daniel and Kim. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to, let's say the book of Luke, chapter 19. We'll begin reading in verse 1. This is a familiar passage. This is a story that if you don't know the story verbatim, you at least sung it as a kid. And so now that I say that, you'll probably be singing it in your head the rest of the morning. But here we go. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here I am now. I give you half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone else out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." If you would pray for me this morning as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Again, we just thank you for this story, a story that a lot of us, if we grew up in church, heard as kids, we even maybe sung it as a kid, one that gets easily overlooked because maybe in our minds we think of it as a kid's story, but it's really a story about us, a story about us, Lord, needing you. In the midst of our lives, in the midst of the messiness of our lives, to find you. Lord, thank you so much for being there for us. Thank you so much for seeking us, even when it doesn't feel like we're seeking you. And it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. I think our relationship with God is often like, we treat it like a game of hide and seek. You know, it's like God is hiding somewhere and it's our job to try to find him. And so we go to all these different places trying to find God. We go to church, we go to Bible studies, and we listen to Christian radio, or we go to whoever, and we counselors. You know, we all these places looking for God. And it feels like wherever we go, maybe for a lot of times, we just can't find him. It's almost like in our minds, we view God as that kid. And if you were young, I'm sure you all played hide and go seek. Maybe you're old and you still play it. That's your prerogative. But if you play hide and go seek with that person that, you know, you make your boundaries and you're like, "All right, here's where we're going to hide. You can hide anywhere inside this room or inside this house or in this yard." You know, you set boundaries and you set parameters. And there's always that kid that went and hid somewhere else, right? And you couldn't ever find them. And then when you finally found them, you're like, "You weren't where you said you were going to be." And they're like, "I know, haha." You know, like that was it. Like, for whatever reason, that's how we view God. It's like we're looking for God and we're playing hide and seek with God. And it's like we're looking everywhere where we thought he would be. But we just can't find him. And why is that? Because I think it says a lot less about God hiding, because I don't think he is. I don't think God's hiding somewhere off the boundaries or somewhere where he didn't say he was going to be. I think we have a trouble finding him because part of the time we're not really looking. And the other part, we have a hard time finding him just because of stuff that's going on in our lives. Like there's things that happen. Like sometimes it's like we try to look for God everywhere, but we seem to have misplaced him. Or we look for God everywhere, and he's not where we thought he was going to be. Yesterday, I guess my inner ginkdom came out, and Maria and Josh and I went to this big comic book convention down in Raleigh yesterday, and there's thousands of people, and they're all dressed up, and it was just incredible, right? It was like our people. Like, we were having this amazing time there, but it was like there were so many people. You know, Josh is with us, and you know, Josh is kind of at the age now, he's getting ready to be a middle schooler. He's not really old enough. He's too old. I can't really hold his hand anymore, right? Like, he doesn't want that. I don't want that for him. So normally when he was like a lot younger, elementary kid, I would just hold his hand and drag him around convention centers. But now I had to like let him go, right? Because he's a big kid. But He's still a kid, right? And so constantly, I don't know how many times I had to say, Josh, are you with us? Josh, are you with us? Josh, and Josh was always like, yes, Dad, I'm with you, right? Like over and over, but it's because I was so afraid of losing him. I was like, man, I don't want to misplace him. Beth would be very upset. Like I need to come home with two kids because I left with two kids. And so I didn't want to lose him. But I feel like sometimes that's like with God. Like sometimes we just feel like we've misplaced God, or maybe God is somewhere where we didn't think he was going to be. See, all through our lives, we look for things. We look for purpose. We look for hope. We look for peace. We look for rest. And what we're really looking for in all of those things is God. Because he's the only one that can give that to us. We can't find purpose and peace and rest and all and hope and happiness and all of this stuff in the things of this world. We can only find them from the creator of this world. And so that's what I want us to talk about over the next several weeks. Is simply finding God. Finding God in places that maybe it's uncomfortable for us to look through. Finding God in places that maybe we wouldn't even think to look in. We're gonna talk about finding God when it seems like all hope is lost. We're gonna talk about finding God in prosperity, when everything's going good. We're gonna talk about finding God like today in messiness. Because let's face it, life gets messy. All you have to look at is the last 18 months of your life and realize, even if you had the most organized, straightest, most perfect life you ever could have imagined, these last 18 months have been messy. And it's not because of anything you've done. It's not because of anything I've done. It's not because of it. It's just life has been messy. This pandemic has thrown this world upside down. And it's made our lives incredibly, incredibly messy. Just physically in our own house. You know, I am, I've been known to be a little bit OCD at times. And so for me, like walking into our home, I always want to walk into our home and it looks like a house that's ready to be shown to be sold, right? Like I like everything to be in its place, everything nice and neat. Like that's when I'm in my happy place. Like that's when I'm comfortable. You know, Beth is the total opposite. She walks in and she's like, it freaks her. She's like, I got to have comfort. Like I want it to be lived in. I want it to be like this nice like family nest. And so we've always kind of had this dynamic of going back and forth. Well, the pandemic, I just gave up, right? Like our house is like nobody would buy it now. It is like just trash. Like you got, you know, all these people, like three kids that are like doing school from home, a wife working from home. I'm at home. I mean, I haven't seen our dining room table in 18 months. I mean, it's just messy. And so a lot of times when we're like running around trying to find stuff, it's like, where's this? Where's this? I haven't seen this in forever. We just immediately go and we start digging through the dining room table or our kitchen bar area or our kitchen table and we find it eventually. Because life just gets messy and it builds up over time and things happen. Before we know it, we're in really messy situations and we don't even know how we even got there. And it doesn't even have to be something that we caused. But when life is messy, a lot of times life is painful. When life is messy, it's easy to spot the external mess, right? Like it's easy to walk into my house right now and go in my front door and turn and look in our little dining room and see a table full of all kinds of stuff, right? Like just mess. It's easy to see that. But what's hard to see, and this is what this 18 months and maybe even longer for some of us have done, it's created a mess on the inside. Like on the outside, we look good. On the outside, it looks like we have it all together. On the outside, everything is fine. But on the inside, our life is a mess. That's Zacchaeus. That is his story. That is our story. The story of messiness on the inside when everything else on the outside looks fine. Several summers ago, we had an incident where both Jacob and Maria both broke their arms, right? In two separate incidences. And Maria broke hers at camp. She was at camp, the very first day of camp. They were doing some stuff, and I don't know what she did. She fell, and she broke her arm. And she went to the camp nurse, and she said, I really hurt my arm. And the camp nurse looked at her, but she was able to move her wrist, and everything was fine. And they were like, we think you just bruised it. We'll keep an eye on it. She came home from camp. Maria was like, hey, you know, I hurt my arm at camp. But Maria was still doing everything. So we were like, oh, okay, you just bruised it, you're fine. Well, a couple of weeks went by and Maria was like, arm, she was like, it's still complaining about her arm. So finally we were just like, all right, you know what? We're gonna take you to the doctor and we're gonna see your arm's not broke. her arm was broke. And so they had to put this cast on her arm because Maria had this like internal pain. She had this internal messiness of this fractured bone. But on the outside, everything looked fine. She could still bend her wrist. She could still pick up stuff. It was all of this stuff. So just looking at her, you wouldn't know this. Let's hope this doesn't happen tonight at Vacation Bible School. But at Vacation Bible School a few years ago, Jacob was out playing. And there he was playing games with the kids and all this kind of stuff. And Jacob just happened to fall, slipped in the wet grass, did something, and kind of jammed his arm a little bit. And this is a few weeks after the incident with Maria. And so Jacob came in. He's like, I think I hurt my arm. And we're like, you know what? We're taking him to the doctor, you know? So we took him, and sure enough, it was broke. And then social services came. But we had two kids with broke arms at the same time. But on the outside, you couldn't tell anything was wrong. If they hadn't come to us and said, look, Mom and Dad, I'm in pain. This part of my body hurts. We never would have known. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. Here's this guy who is, he's rich, he's wealthy, you know, it's like he's this tax collector. And yes, the money he earned was probably pretty dishonest, right? Tax collectors were not thought of in very high regards in those days because what they would do, they would come to collect the tax and they would add on a little more tax for themselves. And so everyone knew that they had to pay this money or else, you know, things were going to happen. Property was going to get seized. They were going to get thrown in jail and they had to pay whatever the tax collector said they needed. So Zacchaeus had this reputation. That's just who he was. He would show up and if the tax bill was $100, he'd ask for 120. And he'd pocket the extra 20. That's how things worked in those days. And so he became a very wealthy man, a man that everyone knew, but maybe everyone disliked. A man that on the outside would walk around town and act like he had it all together. He had the riches, he had the status, he had a good job, he had all of these things. But obviously on the inside there was pain. Because in the inside, Zacchaeus was messy. He knew. He would ask for whatever amount of money he would ask for extra up to his level of guilt. You know, once he started feeling guilty about taking this amount of money, he'd probably stop, but he would still take something. So all of a sudden, he hears about this man named Jesus. This Jesus who's going around and not just doing miracles, right? What he's interested in is who is this man that is doing these miracles, that's preaching this message, that has all of these people following him, that's hanging out with tax collectors just like him. Because if he heard of Jesus, he would have heard of Matthew. Matthew, the disciple. Matthew, the tax collector. Just like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had this level of guilt. He knew who he was. He knew the things he had done. And so ultimately what he did was he said, look, here comes this guy named Jesus. And I heard about these stories. I heard about how my buddy Matthew all of a sudden started following this Jesus. And Jesus was so excited. They threw this big party. And when they threw this party, they started inviting all these other tax collectors and sinners in. And that's who they partied with. And Zacchaeus had to have thought, if Jesus can be a friend to Matthew, then he can be a friend to me. That if he can love somebody like Matthew, who is just like me, if he can love someone like Matthew, that's just as messed up as I am, that life is just as messy, then he can love me too. That's what he wanted to see. He wanted to see this man who had this incredible gift of grace that loved him or could love him no matter what his past, no matter what his messiness. So you guys know the story. Jesus is coming into town, and as they're coming in, you know, all he wants is a glimpse of Jesus. And we learn, we know it, you know, from the song because we get it from the scriptures. You know, Zacchaeus is this kind of a short guy. And so he climbs up in this tree just so he can get a better look, just so he can like see over the crowd. He wants to see where everything is, kind of survey the situation. So he climbs up this tree and he's looking out. All he wants is a glimpse of Jesus. All he wants is to be able to see this guy, to see how he interacts with people, to see Matthew right there with him. He just wants to see, is everything that I heard true? That's all he wants to do. He wants to get a glimpse of Jesus. But what Jesus wants is an interaction. You see, Zacchaeus wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus, but Jesus wanted to grab a hold of Zacchaeus. And so they're approaching, and I'm sure Zacchaeus up in his tree, kind of peeking through the branches. You know, you're kind of imagining how things may have been. He probably thought, man, with all of these people, we have no many, how many, we just know there was a crowd. It could have been hundreds, it could have been thousands, but there was people lining up and down the streets, people all around. I mean, a mob like yesterday that we experienced there in that convention center with all these people kind of shoulder to shoulder, trying to get a glimpse of certain, you know, celebrities or people or artists or whatever, you know, trying our best to see. Like, that was the situation. Zacchaeus thought, you know, I'm going to climb up in this tree. He'll never see me, but I'll be able to see him, and I can kind of watch from a distance, and nobody will even notice me up here because everybody's focused on Jesus. Except Jesus knew. Except Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was there. Now, I don't know why. We don't know why. Maybe Jesus looked up, and he saw this guy, and Jesus was probably very observant. He was able to look around. He knew people. He could see hearts. He understood who was looking at him, what was going on. He may have saw this guy up there in this tree and realized, now this is somebody who's interested in me. Maybe Matthew put a little bug in his ear. Hey, Jesus, we're rolling into this town right now. I got a friend there. You think I was bad? Man, he is bad. But I think there's hope. So Jesus maybe even intentionally was looking for Zacchaeus. And as they were walking down this street and there's mobs of people, Matthew may have been like, there he is. And Jesus looks up and he's like, Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus is like, what? Yeah, you know, like he saw me. He knew me. He's like, come on down. I'm coming to your house tonight, right? What in the world? In the messiness of life, have you ever had your house like really messy and then all of a sudden you find out you're having a guest, right? Like, what do you do? Like, if you're like us, you run around and all of a sudden you're throwing everything in the closet. Everything's going under the bed. Everything's just out in the garage. You're shutting the garage door. Like, you're doing everything you can. So when that guest of honor shows up, everything looks nice and neat and presentable. Like that, like, for Zacchaeus, he was probably a whole lot less worried about the messiness of his house and a whole lot more worried about the messiness of his life. Jesus wants to have dinner with me. Why is he coming to my house? Like, he's going to know. He had to have heard about me. Like, oh my gosh, I am in such trouble. Like, when you get called to the principal's office or whatever, you know, it's like, oh man, like, what have I done now? Like, oh, he knows. He did know. But all he cared about was his heart. Zacchaeus, let me come to your house. Let's hang out. Let me come and just be with you. Let me come and engage with you. Because the beautiful thing is, even when we're mildly curious about Jesus, he is intensely passionate about us. Even we're just kind of curious. Zacchaeus is like, well, I just wanted to see you, Jesus. I'm not sure I really wanted to engage with you. Jesus is like, oh no, we're engaging, right? Because even when we're a little curious, Jesus is all about the engagement. He's all about the relationship. He's all about, let me be part of your life. Let's spend time together. Let's be together. But Jesus, you don't understand the messiness. You don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't understand the pain. You don't know what these last 18 months have done to me. You don't understand my doubts and my fears and my anxiety and my depression. Jesus is like, yes, I do. Like, I understand all of that. I understand all of the messiness, and I still want to be with you. Let me come in to your house. And not just fake, like literal house, but the house of our lives. Jesus says, I understand the mess. I deal with messy people all day long. In fact, I even dealt with someone messy just like you. And now look at him. His life is different. So then there's this amazing interaction. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And in verse 7, all the people saw this and they begin to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest of a sinner. What I love about Jesus, he will accept people that we will not, right? We all know messy people. We can see, like whether we know they're hurting on the inside or they're just messy on the outside. We there's those people in our lives that we know that just seem like everything in their life is chaos. Everything in their life is a hot mess. Everything that they try to do, they seem to fail at, right? They fail at getting a job. They fail at their marriages. They fail at their finances. They fail at all of these things. And we're just like, what do? We just kind of shake our head at them. Like, oh, well, that's just so-and-so. That's just their life. They're just a hot mess, right? They're just messed up. But Jesus, on the other hand, sees a child of God. He sees a son or daughter of the Most High God. And he says, yeah, their life is a little messy, but I love them anyway. Their life is a little messy, but I'm here to help start cleaning things up. Because it's not about cleaning up the outside and allowing God to change us on the inside. It's about allowing God to change us on the inside first. And then everything else starts to take care of itself. You see, Jesus loves people who we don't. Jesus accepts people who we don't. And that's why all these people were like, what is he doing? Why is Jesus going Zacchaeus? Like, does he even know who this guy is? He knew exactly who that guy was, which was exactly why Jesus wanted to be with him. And then in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, here I am, and I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, which he had a lot, I will pay back four times the amount. And then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. I love this word save because in our minds we have kind of an English interpretation of the word save, and we think of someone who maybe is drowning or they're in a fire and they need saving. And so you think about Jesus coming to seek and save those that were lost. But this word save, when you look at it in the actual Greek, the word is restore. Jesus said, I have come to seek and restore those who were lost. Restoration, to be made new again, to be made whole again. In the midst of our messiness and everything that is messy about our lives and all of our fears, our anxieties, our sins, our depression, everything that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis, everything that makes our life messy, from our failed jobs, our failed marriages, our failed finances, all of those things, Jesus said, I came to restore that. I came to restore your hope. I came to restore your peace. I came to restore your love. I came to restore everything there is about you. That's why I'm here, Zacchaeus, to restore your soul. I don't know. That's pretty incredible. And maybe you came here this morning wanting just to kind of get a glimpse of Jesus. But maybe what Jesus has done this morning has got a hold of you. Maybe you came here this morning, the thing that you were wanting to find was peace and purpose and hope and rest. But maybe what you're discovering is those things aren't found by themselves. They're not found in various different areas. They're found in a God who loves each and every one of us. A God who desires to be with us, a God who is passionate about us, a God that is desperately seeking us so that he can what? Restore us to bring back to who he created us to be. You see, we can find God in the mess of our lives if we're willing to allow God into the mess of our lives. If we spend our whole life just trying to look good, to clean ourselves up, to let everyone around us think that we have it all together, we're never going to have room to invite Jesus into our house. If we're worried that God, before I can let you come in, Jesus, before you can come into my house, I've got to make sure I get everything in order. I got to make sure that I'm reading my Bible more than I am now, that I'm going to church more than I am now, that I'm sinning less than I am now. Once I get all of those things in order, all right, then Jesus, you can come. If we think that way, we will never find him. Never. But when we're willing to just like Zacchaeus, say, God, here I am. You know the messiness of my life. You know the struggles. You know the things that are going on inside of me that maybe nobody else does. God, if you want this mess, then you can have it. Jesus says, okay, I can work with that. Because that is something he can restore. That is something that is broken and scarred and beat up and bruised and hurting. Something that he can restore to something that is whole again. That is the story of Jesus. That is the story of Zacchaeus. That is the story of us. That we have a God that seeks to restore every single one of us, no matter how messy our life may be. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning and, we just seek to find you in the mess of our lives. This last year has been crazy. It's been nuts. It's thrown our whole worlds upside down. It's separated friends. It's separated families. It's caused division in churches. We struggle because what we once knew to be so concrete and so steady is now all of a sudden not there. The things that we used to seek to bring us peace or seek to bring us rest or seek to bring us fulfillment or purpose maybe are no longer there. But God, let it be clear that those things never brought us any of those things anyway. That it's only you. That everything Zacchaeus sought, he found, and he found in you. No matter how messy his life was, your grace was big enough to clean it up. And Lord, I believe in my own heart, in my own life, in the people who are here this morning, the people who may be watching or listening online, if we're really honest, we have a mess. Our lives are a mess, even if externally everything looks okay. We all have hurts. We all have pains. We all have those things inside of us, Lord. That you and you alone are the only one that can heal. Lord, this morning, let our prayer, let our offering be the messiness of our lives. No more hiding, no more trying to clean it up ourselves. No more just trying to catch a glimpse of you here and there. But God, that we show up this morning and we just give you everything. All of the dirt, all of the sin, all of the mess, all of our struggles, all of our pain, all of our anxiety, everything, Lord. Take it all. And let today be the day that salvation comes to our house. Because we know without a shadow of a doubt, today is the day that you have come to seek and restore that which is lost. So whatever in our life has been lost in the messiness of our lives, may we grant you the permission, Lord, to restore it. To not just what it once was, but to what you want it to be. Lord, we pray all these things in your awesome and holy name. Amen.